And I trust this would encourage you, not just for 2025, but for our whole life. And the title of this morning's message, Hope for 2025. Hope for 2025. As Christians, we do have hope, a living hope, a lively hope, a hope that many others desire but don't have outside of Jesus Christ. So let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We'll start there, the hope of the resurrection and the rapture. We'll find this in Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and in verse 13. I'll read this verse and then we'll ask the Lord to bless the message. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. The Word of God says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." Let us pray. Abba, Father, what a thought to be in thy house even this morning. Thank you, Father, for the blessed assurance, the blessed quietness, the simple faith in you. And Father, even now we ask, Holy Spirit of God, anoint these lips of clay that I would speak, Father, what you would have me to say. Hide me behind the cross, Father, that I must speak from heaven on high. It must be your words that flow from my mouth, not mine. I'm just a nobody. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. But I thank you so much for the supernatural joy, comfort, assurance, and peace that we have only through you, your word, and through the power of your Holy Spirit. And Father, we love you. We thank you for all the other years, 2024, now 2025. And Father, we ask that you would move mightily in our lives, not for our own vain glory, but for your kingdom's sake. And bless now the preaching and teaching of thy holy word. Draw us closer to yourself. Save sinners and edify saints as such as only you can, Father. We ask in Jesus' name and for his precious name's sake and through the power of his shed blood and resurrection. Amen. Praise the Lord. Of course, with the promise of the new year, 2025, this year is not very much into 2025, and there's been all kinds of tragedies if you've been following along, and it kind of really got me thinking as you've perhaps read from the news or seen on the news, the tragedy in New Orleans, you know, with the truck that just kind of ran through people. Even locally here was just a couple of days ago, last Friday, in Waukesha County. It was the first day back from winter break. I shared this with the men yesterday. And there was a five-year-old boy that was just hit and killed. Just an accident. The bus hit him in the parking lot type thing. But just sad all the way around. Just very, very tragic. If you think even further back to December 16, we had that in Madison. We had the the Abundant Life Christian School shooting. That was just about a month, less than a month ago. And one of the things, as we see tragedy hit, you know, we always as human beings, it's a new day, a new week, a new year, and we always hope for things to be better. And my friends, outside of God's grace and God's mercy, there is no better. As we see the tragedy unfold on screen, on the internet, perhaps follow along on TV, it always just tugs at my heart because I don't know who these people are. They might be saved. They might not be saved. I don't know. The idea is tragedy hits no matter what. These are hurting people, and in fact, the one common thing is God is our Creator. God made all of us, and even I know these folks, strangers to myself, but God knows them. But even if they are saved or unsaved, the heart weeps when tragedy strikes because you know we have that image of God. We are made in His image. We have that love in us, and it doesn't matter which country you go to. What culture or religion, parents weep when their child dies. I mean, that's a common thread. And it really got me thinking, the hope that we have as Christians, I hope this can encourage you and myself today. Pray for me. You know, I'm just a sinner saved by grace, but it's by God's wonderful grace that I stand here. When we read in the scriptures, Paul is encouraging the believers. They've had some personal loss and tragedy as well. But if you are a born-again believer, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, my friend, this word is for you. This message is to encourage you. This message is to uplift your heart. And if you're not saved, may it prick your heart to want to be saved. Looking at what Paul is writing here to the believers, he writes to all of us here today and all who are listening. I pray that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And he writes in verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. These are the term given to those believers who had passed on. They had died. But Paul, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, Scripture uses the word asleep because, you know, when we sleep, when we use the word sleep, we use it because we're going to awake. The idea is speaking to the resurrection that's going to be coming at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And he tells them that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. And it's such a reminder to us that if you're saved, we rejoice together. We have not just hope, we have eternal hope, we have forever hope. But there are those who are not saved, my friends. They have nothing. They have no hope. All they have is despair. We as Christians, we have hope always. We have hope forever. It doesn't matter how dire our circumstances get. May we remind ourselves, no matter what happens in 2025, no matter what happens in 2026, in any time frame that you might be alive in, if you are saved, you have hope. You have hope because of God. We have hope because of the Lord. That's a reminder to us. Typically, death would be separation. And that is not an incorrect description. Death would be parting. Death would be a separation, a parting of ways, a parting of company between loved ones and those that are here. When you talk about death, you can talk about separation of the spirit from the body. I get that. But when it comes to Christians in the scriptures, because of this hope that we have, this paradigm of death no longer applies. Death is still, I get it, okay, but it's only temporary. When it comes to a Christian, to a child of God, to a believer, death is no longer true to you the way that it was to you before you were saved. If you're saved today, the pattern of death no longer holds true to you as it once did before you were saved. To those who are still unsaved, that mold has been broken. And that is the comfort that we have as believers. So always tell ourselves that no matter that circumstance, if you're saved, you have hope. We have hope. Look at verse 14. For, the scripture says, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. This is the promise of the resurrection. This is the biggest if in the Bible. It's not on God, it's on you and I. If you look at verse 14, for if, I-F, that if is not on what God has done, God already did it. The if is whether we or anyone believes it, right? If we believe. This is the biggest if in anyone's life. I pray and hope that all who here have believed in this, the if that would change the destination of our life forever. Jesus Christ, it speaks to his death and resurrection, and it starts right there. I want us to, again, this is Paul writing God's word. We're going to hear from John a little bit, and then Paul, and then I'm going to come back here. But let's go to John chapter 20 real quick. This is John. We touched on this a bit last week. John's testimony, John's witness. Again, the idea, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again. So do we believe? Well, hope so. Let's go to John chapter 20, verse 8. John chapter 20, towards the end of the book of John, chapter 20, sort of verse 8 with me, my friends. And then we have a number of verses I'd like to just encourage us to read together today. But we'll start here in verse 8. It says, then went in also that other disciple, John is talking about himself, which came first to the sepulcher, and he saw and believed. And this is a very intimate time in John's testimony, because again, John is writing this after the fact. Okay, this has already happened, but John is kind of bringing us back to the point when it was happening. That's a very, very tender scripture that he's writing. And the idea is even at that time, as a apostle of Jesus Christ, as a follower of Jesus Christ, Jesus had, of course, been crucified. He's been dead for 3 days. And John is kind of recounting how that experience was for him. He loved the Lord. He loved the Lord. And he never ceased to love the Lord during those 3 days. But he doubted. He didn't quite know what was going on. And so here he tells us what's happening almost in real time. As he comes in, he sees the tomb, the empty tomb, and it says here, he's talking about himself, then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulcher, and he saw, at that time when he came, he saw the empty tomb and what? Believed. And John is being very candid. The idea is, before this happened, he didn't believe, and he maybe kind of believed, but maybe he doubted, you know, and said, well, you know, and by and large, the disciples, they had forgotten what Jesus told them about his resurrection. And so they had kind of fallen, and everything was all doom and gloom. But John here is giving us a first-hand account of himself. I mean, he's speaking from his heart, how at one point he doubted, but now he believes. Verse 9, for as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Well, they knew it, but they didn't know it. You know, the idea is, I mean, they've been exposed to it, but they forgot about it. It wasn't in their heart, wasn't in their head. It was somewhere in the back of their mind. But now it's coming up to the forefront. And then let's go to chapter 21, and then verse 14. Chapter 21, verse 14, John continues to write here, this is now the what time? The third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples. After that, he was risen from the dead. And so as time progresses, John, he believes. But he wants to make sure that those that are reading his word also believe. In fact, same thing if you go to verse 24. Same chapter 21, verse 24. This is the disciple which testifieth of these things. This is John, his testifying. It's as though he's got his right hand up, okay, and is on stand and is testifying before God to all creation. You and I, as we read this, which testify of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. What we write, John is saying, you know, I'm telling the truth. I'm not holding anything back. I'm not twisting anything. There was a time I didn't quite know what to believe. I didn't believe it until I saw him myself, and then now I believe, okay? In fact, if you go with me to 1 John chapter 5, 1 John towards the end of the Bible, 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. Let's go to verse 9. It's too good to pass up. Let's go to verse 9. 1 John chapter 5, let's go to verse 9. Again, this is God's word, but again, using John the Apostle to write this to us, a very tender man, says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. Do we understand what John is saying? What John is saying is what he's going to tell us. This is not man's word. This is God's word. And the idea is if we believe even man, we have no reason not to believe this. I think of all the things that I might have believed in my lifetime. Some things might be interesting, some might be fun facts, but think about this. Think about the last time you believed a fellow sinner. Think about the last time that a person told you something and you're like, oh, you just took it at face value. My friends, we have no excuse to reject what God is telling us here. This is huge. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believed not the record that God gave of his Son. And John is telling it as it is. God tells us Jesus Christ is the Savior. If we believe it, we're saved. If we reject it, we're calling God a liar. verse 11. And this is the record, for the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Very simple. Verse 13, these things have I, John by himself, written unto you. John is being so candid, as he was here, as he was back when in John, when he was talking about when he first came to the sepulcher. He's just writing from his heart, and he's writing this to you who are Christians that believe on the name on the Son of God, that ye may what? Know. That ye may know that ye have eternal life. This is the hope that Paul wants the Thessalonians to also know. Okay, the same context. To know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. You can trust in Him. You can keep trusting in Him. You can always trust in Him. Trust in God. Because if you're saved, my friend, you have hope. John really, really wanted us to get it. And he's telling us here. Paul really, really wanted us to get it. Let's go with me to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the resurrection chapter. Verse 1. Right there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's go to verse 1. Word of God says here, the Apostle Paul writes here, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the what? Gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. This is the gospel, and Paul is telling the Corinthians this. Paul is telling you and I this, because he wants us to believe this. And that He was seen of Cephas, that's Peter, then of the 12, this is the resurrection. After that, He was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present. But some are fallen what? Asleep. And he's going to mention this in our opening passage in 1 Thessalonians 4. After that, He was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, He was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. Scripture tells us, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again. John believed. Paul believed. I believe. Do you believe? I hope and pray that you truly, truly believe. This is what triggers the rest of the scriptures for us. Let's go back to 1 Thessalonians 4. Let's go back to 1 Thessalonians 4. To truly, truly believe, God knows your heart. He tells us in His Word, so we don't have to doubt. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. Now look at verse 15 with me, my friends. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. Not man's word, not man's opinion, not some editorial, not some op-ed, not some wishful thinking, not some wish list. This is God's word. And this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. This is guaranteed to happen. This is a wonderful, wonderful thing. This is worth getting excited over. Praise God. Amen. Get excited with me. Let's go to John chapter 2. John chapter 2 with me, my friends, real quick. John chapter 2. This is not just some man's own, you know, made-up plan. This is God's own word and own purpose that He purposed in Himself for our sake, for our benefit. John chapter 2. And let's go away with me to verse 18. John 2, verse 18. a wonderful encounter here. Jesus is speaking to the naysayers. He says, "Then answered the Jews and said unto him, What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Now they thought that he was talking about the temple that he was standing in. "Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But John tells us in verse 21, "But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said." An amazing admission here by the Apostle John. I mean, he's writing again, putting himself in the text here himself. When Jesus rose, it kind of clicked with all of them, himself included. He's not too proud to say that he didn't fully understand till at some point, but he's humble enough to tell us the truth, that he had to believe. He had to see it. And when he saw the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it says here, "When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered," like, "Oh yes, that's right, that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture." The scripture never changed. It's always been there, but they didn't believe before, but now they believe. "And the word which Jesus had said." John chapter 11, turn with me, same book of John, but chapter 11. John chapter 11, verse 23. Jesus is speaking to dear Martha. John chapter 11, verse 23. "Jesus saith unto her," and again John is writing this, "Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." And so, you know, nothing wrong with that statement. You know, and Martha is confessing to Jesus that she knows that there will be a resurrection. All the Jews believe that. And she knows that Lazarus would be there. But Jesus had something to point out to her in verse 25. Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life." And Jesus is telling Martha, it's not just an event. It's not just a date. It's a person. It's me. I am, Martha, the resurrection. I am, Martha, the life. "He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." This is the hope that Paul is referring to in our 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. This is the hope of the rapture in verse 26. "And whosoever," this is any believer, "liveth and believeth in me." And so whosoever is living when Jesus comes back and believeth in me shall never die. "Believest thou this?" And Jesus, from his own words recorded by us, by John here, is telling Martha about the rapture and the resurrection. Do you believe this? Paul writes, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again," do we believe? John chapter 14. John chapter 14, turn with me, verse 1. Jesus tells his disciples here, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." Hallelujah. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way ye know." Of course, we know what Doubting Thomas is asking in verse 5. Can I share with you? I'm so thankful he asked that. Because sometimes, you know, I enjoy reading the Bible. I enjoy reading, you know, commentaries from theologians. I enjoy reading devotionals. And, you know, sometimes I get kind of caught up and like, wait, now what? what's the doctrine here again? And so sometimes you can get, we love to read the scripture. We can kind of get lost in it. But look at verse 5. "Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Here's a reminder to the Thomas and all of us. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The joy of when there's things that we don't understand, my friends, focus only on Jesus Christ. Focus only on the Lord. In Him is our hope. In Him is our life. In Him we have the hope that we'll, well, of the rapture, of the resurrection. Just focus on Jesus Christ. Serve Him. Seek to know Him better. Seek to trust Him even more than we do now. Let's keep going here. And then verse 7. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know Him and have seen Him. If you see the Son, you see the Father. It's a wonderful, wonderful truth. By God's word, the Bible tells us, will not prevent them which have fallen asleep. In fact, let's go back to 1 Thessalonians. We kind of go back and forth here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15 is kind of where we left off. I want us to kind of consider what the Scripture is telling us here. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, God's word, amen, not man's word, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Those that have gone before us, they're not going to miss out on what is to come. Of course, we know in the Scripture, absent from the body, present with the Lord. But here it's speaking about the resurrection, that it will be a bodily resurrection. It will be spiritual, but it still will be literal. The idea is, even those that have gone before us, I think of my dad, I think of my mother-in-law, I think of our loved ones that we know and love here, Sister Kathy, Brother Dick, Brother Titus, Brother Dean, Brother Al, the folks that we've been blessed to worship together. This resurrection is going to be so awesome. They're not going to be missing out. Those that have gone before us, my friends, this is a wonderful promise to the believer. There is a reunion at the end of time. Not meaning at the end of time, but meaning when God puts an end of time. Okay, there is going to be that reunion that's going to trump all reunions. And it's going to be sweet. It's going to be precious. And all believers are going to be there. This is a promise that God gives to us Himself. We will not prevent or precede them which are asleep. This is going to include all believers across all time. Look at verse 16. For the Lord Himself, one day, my friends, we shall see Him, Jesus Christ. I don't know about you. I like to get caught up in emotions. I'm very excitable, okay? And the idea is, it's hard for me to picture my Savior because I've never met Him. I'm just saying. I can picture, I used to, you know, when I used to grow up, growing up, my dad would be Santa Claus. Yes, we did that, okay? And so that was one of the... and so Christmas time, there'd be Santa Claus. Now, I never met Santa Claus. But, of course, you have all the photos of what it's supposed to look like, red suit. You know, so I had a mental imagery, that kind of thing. But I've never seen my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I read about Him. He's a real person. But one day I'll meet Him. You've never seen Him. You've read about Him like I have. I trust that you believe in Him, that He's your Savior, that He died for you. But you don't. We don't know what He would look like. One day we will behold Him. Let that sink in. We will see Him. In fact, it tells us here. I'm going to read this and then we're going to go to Acts. It says here, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. It's going to be quite a production when he appears. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. Excuse me. Acts chapter 1. And then verse 11. Acts chapter 1, verse 11. The apostles, of course, are gazing up as Jesus ascends. And the angels say in verse 11, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. One day, my friends, the same Jesus that John saw, that he writes about it, that he walked with him, he handled him. We slept around the campfire together. This same Jesus. One day, my friends, this same Jesus that was crucified on the cross of Calvary. One day, this same Jesus that was buried in the tomb. One day, this same Jesus that rose from the dead. He's coming back for you. He's coming back to save you. He's coming back to finish yourself. You're already saved. I mean, to fulfill our salvation at the rapture. He's coming back to deliver us from planet Earth. This is our same Jesus whom we, even though we don't see, yet we love, right? This is what Paul writes. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Turn with me, my friends. 1 Peter chapter 1. Towards the end of the Bible, we'll see 1 Peter. Right before John's, we'll find Peter. 1 Peter 1. The same Jesus, the good shepherd, he will come back for his own. 1 Peter chapter 1. And the Word of God says this: Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, might as well say Warsaw, here we are, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. This is the 1 Thessalonians 4, same hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and it fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept, this believers, you and I, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That the trial of your faith, God knows that you have trials. God knows you have hardships. God knows we have struggles. This is what he says. Being much more precious than of the gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And then verse 8. Whom having not seen. None of us have seen Jesus Christ yet. None of the believers that Peter was addressing had seen him. Now, Peter had seen him, but they haven't. Whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. My friends, we have yet to see Jesus Christ, but we will see him one day, face to face. Scripture tells us when it happens, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Let's go back to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Those that have gone before us, those that have passed on to glory before us. But verse 17, no one's left out. Look at this. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. My friends, we've never seen him in person. One day we will, in the air, in the clouds, and then it will be forever. I mean, this is amazing. This is the reunion in heaven. Speaking about the resurrection of those who have passed on in Christ and the rapture of those who are still alive. It is a spiritual resurrection, but it will be a literal resurrection. It is a spiritual rapture. It will still be a literal rapture. And then look at verse 18. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I miss my dad. I miss my mother-in-law. I miss Titus. I miss Dick. I'm just arguing with him. I'm just saying, one day we shall all see him, all them, in glory with the Lord. Let me just share this letter. I got this letter in the mail on Thursday, probably early this week. And it was written by a couple that would visit us here from the UP. They haven't been here for, in fact, I guess 4 years. Time has gone by so fast. I'm like, oh yeah, it's been 4 years. But they used to come by maybe once every couple of months, once a month kind of thing. But of course, life happens. Time happens. They're older now, and he took a fall. And so they're not able to come. But I want to just share how they wrote me here at the end to myself. But he says here, we pray God's blessing upon you, your family, and your ministry. And then they sign off. We are looking forward to meeting the Lord as he comes for his bride. See you there. That's all. They sign your name. Dear sweet couple, and unbeknownst to them, they did exactly what Paul told the Thessalonians to do in verse 18. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I don't know if I'll ever be blessed to see this dear couple this side of glory again, but I'll know that I'll see them in the clouds when Jesus comes. All the saved of all time, they'll all be there. And we can comfort each other with these words as Paul writes to the Thessalonians, as it's recorded for us, as we tell one another, hey, we'll see you there. Hope that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. So we'll see you there. For a Christian, we don't say bye or goodbye the way that the world does. We say see you later. Because that's what the promise is from the Scriptures to us. Let's go to 2 John. Two more verses, or at least two more passages, and then we'll kind of wrap it up here. Let's go to 2 John. Towards the end of the Bible, before Revelation, we have 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. This is 2nd John. 2nd John. and let's go to verse 12, just a one chapter. But 2nd John, this is how Christians say goodbye. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. Let's go to 3rd John, verse 13. I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee, but I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. The idea that as Christians, we might part company for a while, could be weeks, could be years, but we will see each other again. And that is the hope and comfort that we have at the resurrection and at the rapture. My friends, are you saved? Are you saved? Do you believe that Jesus died and rose again? If you are saved, my friend, you have this hope that awaits us. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your goodness to us. Thank you, Father, for your truth, for your word. That it's not even man at his best in our best intentions or best of schemes, that it is your precious word. And Father, it is truth, and that you bear witness of it, Lord. And so, Father, we agree with it. Father, we don't want to call you a liar. We accept it, Lord, and we're just so thankful for it. And Father, help us to live by faith, not by sight. Help us to have this hope in us into 2025, Lord, that we know no matter how bad circumstances might be, we always have this hope. And Father, we ask if there's anyone here who has not this hope, they're not saved, they don't have this hope. We pray, Father, even now they'll be saved to repent of their rejection of Jesus Christ once and forever, trusting Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Bless this time of invitation in Jesus' name. Every head bowed, every eye closed. As a